Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And this week, we will be continuing in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, kind of basically a little bit of a continuation of what we were doing last week, how we were looking at the terms walk and perfect. So let me just jump there real quick. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk, there's one of our terms, walk before me and be thou perfect. There's the other one. The term walk is Strong's number 1980. Let me pull this up in a different Bible app. I'll get an interlinear going. The term walk is Strong's number 1980. The Hebrew is balak, something like that. Forgive me for my pronunciation. And before my face, remember we were looking at that term, I believe it was last week. The term before is specifically before my face, Strong's number 6440, panim or pane. Panim in the plural, panim in the plural, and pane or pane. The face, meaning the face. And the term we're looking at also is the term perfect, and that is Strong's number 8549 and tamim, something like that in Hebrew. And so what we did our last class, we looked at the verses where these two terms appeared, where walk and perfect appeared together. The first one we saw was in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, and we covered Genesis and the flood during that time in our last class, so I'm not going to be going over that. The very next mention is where we are, our main text, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. All right. Today, I would like for us to look at Psalm 15, verse 2, and actually the entirety of Psalm 15. And this is where we see the terms show up again, the two original terms in one verse. And that's basically how I looked at these verses, is where the two of those terms show up in the same verse or in a same verse. And so we may not look at all of our notes today. I did the Spanish class, or I was looking at the notes for the Spanish class. I didn't get to cover them. And, excuse me. And so, before I began reading Psalm 15, before I began reading Psalm 15, I just wanted to mention this, and I know I've mentioned this in a couple classes before, but I do want to mention this because, well, for one, man is man, the natural mind is the natural mind, and the natural mind runs with things, okay? So I just wanted to remind us of this. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 2, and actually, the whole passage in Genesis chapter 17, well, let me go ahead and just read verse 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before my face and be thou perfect. And be perfect. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, once again, I want to remind us, when the Lord, right here in this passage, is speaking to Abram, Abram is literally hearing the voice of El Shaddai, Almighty God. Abram has Ishmael in view. Man always considers man. That is the natural mind of man. Man always considers man. Man always considers what is of man. Genesis, still in Genesis chapter 17, I want us to look at verse 17 and verse 18. This is verse 17. Then Abram, this is as the Lord is speaking to him. Then Abram fell upon his face, because remember, the Lord is speaking to Abram concerning a seed, concerning an heir, concerning an inheritance, and concerning covenant. And this whole entire time, Abram is looking at Ishmael. And Abram is considering man himself, basically. What man can do, what man can offer, what man can bring to the table. Now, whether we realize this or not, it is a mercy of God unto us that God only, always, you can underline those words, only and always and exclusively considers Christ, his Son, no other. And if the Spirit of the Lord can quicken that into our heart, in our heart, we will rejoice in that, brothers and sisters, tremendously. Verse 17 of Genesis chapter 17, then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, because the Lord had already changed her name at this verse, that is 90 years old, bear? Verse 18, and Abram said unto God, this is what Abram thought, this is what Abram considered, this is the heart of Abram submitted unto the mind of man. He thought, his heart submitted unto the mind of man, and this is what it comes up with. And now he speaks. And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thy face. That's that term before, panim, pane, the face. So here is the Lord declaring the seed, the heir, his inheritance, and the covenant, and Abram is considering man. So much so that Abram says, oh, that Ishmael might live before your face. So there you have the mind of man, brothers and sisters. Man always considers man. Now, God always considers Christ his Son. This is the Lord, verse 19. And God said, and I love this of God. I love this of the Lord. I love this of Jehovah. I love this of Yahweh. It's almost as though he doesn't even consider Abram's words. Abram here is spouting off what's in his mind, what's in the mind of man. And the Lord is oblivious in a sense to it, doesn't even consider what he says. Listen to this. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. He's already stated this. He's just restating it. Once again, well, what about, here's the Lord, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Isaac is a testimony of Christ. This is the one whom God considers. Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So the Lord doesn't even consider, in a sense, what Abram is speaking out of the natural mind, of what Abram's heart is submitted unto at that time. And later on, in fact, the Lord is so merciful and gracious in that he only considers, and unto us it is a mercy, as I said, he only considers Christ his son. Later on we read, and we've read, where the Lord says unto Abraham, at that point he says, take now thy son, the one whom you love, thine only, only Isaac. And so the Lord never considers something or someone other than Christ, his son. And this is a mercy of God. Okay, so I really wanted to just stress that right now during this time before we go on reading, because when we read something, we're surprised, but it doesn't surprise God. As I stated, that man always considers man. God knows this. It requires a miracle of God for the Holy Spirit to draw the full attention of the heart and place it and direct it upon Christ. It requires a miracle of God. So he's not surprised when we're considering something less than Christ. He's not surprised when he's trying and literally speaking to our heart, and we have ourselves in view, we have man in view. He's not surprised about that. It's we who become surprised when, at end, the Holy Spirit draws our attention and places it upon Christ. And then in our minds, we're like, oh, wow, I missed it again. Yep, missed it again. God is faithful. Man is not. This is not only that, but look at this. This is Abraham. Abraham, the one who is considered the father of faith, the father of the faithful. If God does not take the initiative, brothers and sisters, our hearts continue directed unto something else. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just not Christ. Okay. So I did want to state that beforehand because of what we're about to read in these next passages. So let's look at, as I stated, what we did, we looked at the original terms for walk and perfect, and I did a Strong's number search on those to see where both those terms showed up in the same verse. And the next one is Psalm 15, verse 2, but we're going to begin with verse 1. We're going to basically read the whole psalm. It's only five verses. It's marked as a Psalm of David. And just real quick, I did want to mention this. To me, the Psalms are the Psalms of the Christ. David was his testimony of Christ. He, when he poured out his soul unto the Lord, it is like the son pouring out his soul unto his father. All right? And so just in reading this, we can consider that Christ is the object, okay? All right. A Psalm of David, that's now verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a question. And it's almost as though he's about to give a response. Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And our terms are found in Psalm 15 in verse 2. And there they are. He that walketh, that's our first term, halach, Strong's number 1980, and the next one, uprightly, tamim, Strong's number 8549. So he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Okay. Just in reading that, and I was considering this while reading this passage, while reading Psalm 15. I'm currently doing this class with a Bible school in Mexico. And the class is called on Studying the Bible. I'm actually doing it for the first time in Spanish. But in our last class, we just covered how that it's always good to be reading something out of the New Testament. Because the reason why I say this is that the New Testament, as we're reading, I'll just give an example. The four Gospels, okay? When I first, after being born again, when I first read through the four Gospels, by the second or third Gospel, it was a surprise to me that they were talking basically the same. They were saying the same thing. They were speaking of Jesus. To me, that was a surprise because I hadn't, you know, before I was born again, I really didn't read the Gospels. There's no point to, you know. But when after being born again, when I read the Gospels for the first time, as I said, it was between like the second or third Gospel that I was reading, that it was like a surprise to me because I said, they're all saying the same thing. They're just talking about Jesus. That is exactly what the Gospels do. They are declaring one. They are declaring the Son of God. They are declaring Christ himself. Now, see, it's easy to see that because we see all the stories of Jesus. But then when we move into like the epistles, it's not as clear. And yet the epistles are declaring this same Jesus. The entirety of the New Testament is declaring this same Jesus. More evidently so to us than the Old Testament. And yet, listen, the Old Testament is also declaring Christ. There's a passage, forgive me, and I can't think of it. I think it's in Corinthians, where Paul says, the gospel that I preached to you that I first received, and then he goes on to say, how that Christ died for our sins and was buried. And he says this, according to the scriptures. The scriptures he's referring to is the Old Testament. And how that he rose again, according to the scriptures. The Apostle Paul declared Christ according to the scriptures. All right. But as I was mentioning earlier, man always considers man. It requires a miracle to consider Christ. So in reading the Old Testament, and actually sometimes, well, yes, in reading the New Testament as well, but in reading the Old Testament, like reading the Psalm, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And I was looking at some different commentaries, and they were basically saying what they think is that during this time, David had just brought the ark to Zion, to the city of David. And so now, the Psalm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The response, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil in his to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Brothers and sisters, this is not talking about you, and it is not talking about me. This is actually declaring Christ himself. Who is this one that abides in the tabernacle? Who is this one that dwells in the holy hill? The Son. The Son. Now listen to the way I say this. Christ, the Son, who is the life of the church. Christ, the Son, who is the life of his body. Christ, the Son, who is the life of the believer. Speaking of Christ. Lest we begin to read, you know, a psalm as such as this, and begin to try to start thinking, okay, so what do I need to do? I need to stop doing this, and I need to start doing this. I need to do this, and I need to stop doing this. Do you see what I mean? Man, once again, considers man. God considers Christ his Son. Always. This is a very good thing. Okay, so in reading this, I began considering other verses, similar verses. And just, even with this passage, let me look at a different passage here real quick. This is Jude, and I love this. As I stated this psalm, Who shall abide in the tabernacle, in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And see, with the psalmist, it's not a matter of any tabernacle. It's not a matter of any hill. It's thy tabernacle, thy holy hill. It's all in reference to the Lord. All right? And once again, remember that this is speaking of Christ himself. This is Jude, verse 24. And remember Genesis. This is our context. This is our main verse right here. Our main passage. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Abram was 99 years old, when the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. And see, up to this point, Abram had heard from God, had considered what God had said with a natural mind, and produced after what he believed God had said. Produced Ishmael. That's his ability. That is Abram's ability. That is the ability of man. Ishmael is basically what man can do. Man's ability, which in the mind of God is nothing. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. All right? The Lord introduces himself, makes himself known as El Shaddai. All-powerful, all-capable, all-able, all-sufficient, self-sufficient God. Nothing is impossible for this one. Jude chapter, well, I can't say chapter 1. Well, there is only one chapter, I guess. But Jude, verse 24. Now unto him, not you, not me, unto him, that is able, here we go, El Shaddai, the only one who is able. Remember, with man, it's impossible in regard to that which that which belongs to God in regard to that which is of God, with man it is impossible, but not with God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is not your ability. This is not my ability. This is not based upon your merit or my merit, upon what you think or upon what you do, upon what I think or upon what I do. This is not based upon us whatsoever. In another passage, I think it's in Romans, the Apostle Paul says, it is not according to him who runs, according to him who wills or him who runs, but God who shows mercy. Not your ability, not man. Remember, our ability is what God calls Ishmael. My good thoughts are what God calls Ishmael, just as my evil thoughts are what God calls Ishmael. But remember, we looked at this a couple classes back. The Lord says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As my thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The mind of man is enmity. Like this. Enmity. The mind of man considers man. The mind of God considers Christ himself. God considers Christ his son. Okay. Now unto him that is able to keep thee from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Why is it joy and not regret? Why is it joy and not being, listen, upset? Christ, who is our life, always does those things that please the Father. See, we just have our focus upon us and not upon him who is our life, Christ himself. Remember at the baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, what does God the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus said it once again. The Father hath never left me. I always do those things that please him. This very same one, brothers and sisters, is our life. The thing is, we consider something that is not our life. But listen, God does not. God considers Christ his son. So going on, Jude, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Remember, Jesus said this, at that day you will know. John chapter 14, verse 20, I think. He says, at that day you will know I am in my Father. What did our psalm say? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? At that day you will know I am in my Father. And praise God he didn't stop there. And you are in me, and I am in you. This is a tremendous thing, brothers and sisters. Tremendous. How does he keep us from falling? Because he is our life. At that day, you will know I am in my Father. This is our life. Remember, what Jesus also said when they came speaking to him about divorce and all this stuff. He says, what God hath joined, no man can separate. That means that if you're born again, your mind cannot separate what God hath done. Regardless of what your heart is submitted unto, God the Father knows His Son. God the Father considers Christ His Son. This very one, brothers and sisters, for us who are born again, who is our life. A lot of the times, well, I can't say a lot of the times, all of the time, us who are born again, we are considering what we believe to be our life. It's our concept. It's not our life. That's not our life. God the Father knows our life. Our life, who is Christ, His Son. This is an awesome, tremendous reality, and this is the truth, brothers and sisters. Whether we believe it, know it, understand it, perceive it, see it, acknowledge it, or not. Your standing with God is not dependent upon you, but upon Christ His Son. In fact, He is the only standing with God we have. He is our standing. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Now remember once again with Abram, our main verse here. This is during a time when Abram was considering man's ability, what man can do. And the Lord introduces Himself, makes Himself known, declares Himself, reveals Himself as El Shaddai. Awesome time. All right, going on. So in reading this Psalm 15, I began to consider some other passages. This next passage is Psalm 2. I have a little note. I have to find out where the other part of this note goes. Oh, okay. That's where it goes. Psalm 2, verse 1. Now, my note was basically this, from Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? This is the verse I was considering because it's all in context with our other verse, he that walketh uprightly. Okay, so this is Psalm 2, verses 1 through 12. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, listen to this, and His anointed. The Lord and His anointed. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth... See, this is man. Whether it be man's thought or man's just natural mind or carnal mind, whether it be aggression in a sense, let's just destroy this relationship between the Father and the Son. Or it's like, or we think, oh my gosh, how is my standing with God? Or how does, you know, my relationship with God? Well, brothers and sisters, once again, if you're born again, Christ is your relationship with God. Remember, we are accepted in the beloved of the Father, the beloved. He is our relationship. He is our acceptance. We cannot break that relationship between the Father and the Son. We can't do anything to hinder it. Your thoughts or your actions cannot do anything to disrupt that. And once again, Christ, if you're born again, is your life. In that day, you will know, I am in my Father. You are in me. And I am in you. That is a solid relationship that nothing can disturb. Okay? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4. Look at this. Look at this response. This is our God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Verse 6. Listen to this. Verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Matters not what your heart is submitted unto. God has set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. That's in direct reference to the resurrection. Christ himself, the raised king. You can see the testimony of this with King Solomon. I shall be his father, he shall be my son. Solomon, a type of the resurrection, the resurrected king. Ruling and reigning. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Not in themselves, not in their ability, but in him. The one whom God considers. Once again, it requires a miracle of God for man to consider Christ the Son. So I was looking at verse 6, and what I did, I'm looking this up in a different Bible app here. What I did, I looked at that term set, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And the way it reads, I'm reading the King James Version, the way it just reads, the way it comes across is like, I set him in place here. I placed him here. That's the way I read it. I put him here. I set him here. I established him here. I fastened him here. I set him here upon my holy hill of Zion. So that's how I considered it, what I thought when I read it. I went ahead and looked at that term, and it's a verb set. That word, the way it was translated into English, it's in the call Hebrew stem. It's a perfect verb. But listen to this. It's nasak, something like that in the Hebrew. Forgive me for my pronunciation. The Strong's number 5258. Here's the Strong's, you know, dictionary. It says, a primitive root to pour out, especially a libation, or to cast metal. By analogy, listen to this, to anoint a king. Don't you just love that? Yet have I anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Think of David when the Lord had Samuel anoint him. Basically, the Lord anointed David as king. Even though the rest of the land, their hearts were submitted to a different king, it made no difference with God. God has one king. And thank God, eventually, the rest of the land acknowledged God's king, and their hearts were submitted unto that same one. The same thing with Solomon. The father, beautiful picture, beautiful testimony here, the father David has him anointed king. David anoints Solomon king. Blow the trumpets. He has him ride on his own mule. He's king. And yet during that very same time, there were others who were following Adonijah, who thought himself to be king. Verse 6, yet I have anointed my king upon my holy hill of Zion. This is God. This isn't going to change, brothers and sisters. This is not going to change. Christ, listen, Christ is our king. The moment we were born again, the king appeared in our soul. And because the king appeared in our soul, his kingdom rules and reigns. Our souls are in the condition of life. They used to be in the condition of death. But when life, who Christ is, appeared in the soul, now life rules, life governs, life reigns, because the king is present. My question is what is our heart submitted unto? May we pray that the Spirit of the Lord can continue preparing the ground of our heart, that our heart may turn unto the one, unto the life, unto the salvation, unto the peace, unto the righteousness, unto the king, unto the kingdom, who is present, Christ himself. All right? So, going on. I'd like to read that. I love this. Let me change my lexicons real quick. That term again, in Psalms 2, verse 6, this is the online Bible app. It's available also for Android and Apple devices. But what I want to do is look at that term again, set. And this is what I want to look at. It's a verb. It's in the call stem. And it's in the perfect tense. Okay? And this is what I want to read, what I would like to read about the perfect tense. Listen to this. The perfect tense expresses a completed action. Completed. No more to be done. Now, remember, what God hath joined, let no man separate. If God hath done something, man cannot disrupt it. Man cannot undo what God hath done. Impossible. Impossible with man. If man could not do it in the first place, what makes us think that we can undo it? Let me rephrase that. If we who are born again could not make ourselves be born again. What makes us think that we can make ourselves be not born again? And so forth and so on. Now unto him who is able to keep you. This is Christ, brothers and sisters. This is not us. This is not man. This is God, El Shaddai, and God alone. Okay, going on. Just another passage just concerning that. And we looked at this, I think, in a couple classes back. This is Numbers chapter 23, verses 18. And the whole passage right here is with Balak and Balaam. It's with Balaam, all right? Starting with verse, let's look. Okay, I'll just start with verse 17. Verse 17 through 20. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hath the Lord spoken? And Balaam took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. Don't you love that? Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. Listen. And he hath blessed. God's done this. And I, Balaam, cannot reverse it. Balak came to Balaam because supposedly Balaam was this very powerful soothsayer. Powerful man. But listen to what he says. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. What God hath done, I cannot undo. That's the confession of humanity, brothers and sisters. When El Shaddai makes himself known, I cannot, not I, but Christ. And remember, once again, the perfect tense expresses a completed action, over and done with. It's done. It's finished. All right. So now, from Genesis 17 to Psalm 15 to Psalm 2. I don't know what that is. I began considering more verses, and you may have already considered some of these. This is Isaiah chapter 25. Verse 6 and 7. This is the Lord. And verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Verse 7. Listen to this. This is, and in this mountain, this is Mount Zion, this is the holy hill. Listen to this. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all the nations. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Very simply put. I love this. I don't know whether to read some of these verses here because our time is running out. Let me just look at this one. No. Let's look at this one. Nope. I'm not sure which verses to read or even if I should even touch on these. I probably won't. Because I have a whole slew of verses here that I'll probably, we may cover our next class, or I may just put them in my notes whenever I get them out there on the internet. Okay. I don't want to read it. Because if I read this one verse, I'll have to read a string of other verses and we don't have time for in speaking about. So back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Once again, the setting right here in this passage of Genesis chapter 17 is that, listen to this, Abram has been walking with the Lord. The Lord has been revealing himself unto Abram. Abram has been continuing in, listen, the appearing of the Lord. Abram, chapter 17, has been hearing the voice of God, has been continuing to hear the voice of God. And in chapter 17, though he truly, in all honesty and truth, hears the voice of God, he is still considering man. And it is such a time as this that the Lord introduces himself as El Shaddai. Regardless of man, regardless of man's ability or of man's lack, regardless of what man considers, El Shaddai, what God considers, more specifically, whom God considers. So, I'll just go ahead and end for this class. I don't know if... Yeah, we read the Isaiah. Yeah, I don't want to read any of the other verses. So, we'll go ahead and end for this class. But even in here, brothers and sisters, this is a timely setting for the Lord to make himself known as El Shaddai. A time for the Lord to once again draw the full attention of Abram's heart and place it upon Christ, his son, yet again. In the midst of man considering something less. It doesn't faze the Lord. It doesn't faze him. So, just with this, brothers and sisters, may we present everything to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would take and use that which he desires to continue to prepare the ground of our heart, that the Spirit of God may direct our heart, may draw the full attention of our heart, direct it and place it upon Christ and Christ alone, that the miracle of God be performed in our own heart, that we may, by the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace of God, consider Christ his Son. Amen. Amen. So we'll let you go for this class. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless. Amen.